welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, right? So, you know, it's not good to be in the dark. It's way easier when the light is on in your life, and that's what I want to talk to you about today, because much of the world is in the dark on this whole Christmas thing. They don't get it. They don't get it. So how are they ever going to learn? That's what I want to talk to you about today. You see, they're walking in darkness out there, and I was looking at my Bible, and I was like, all right, where is the Christmas message in the Bible? You know, we all go straight to, oh, Mary was a virgin, she was, you know, a child and all that. We go to that little area, and that's true, but I want to go to 1 John 1:5 with you today and tell you that really this is legitimately the Christmas message. And it says this: this is the message which I have heard from him, and I declare to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There's no darkness in God. See, the babe was born as the light of the world. Baby Jesus was the light of the world. John 8:12 says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I want to have the light of life. You guys just got majorly indoctrinated into the Light of Life campaign today. The light of life will set you free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what? Set us free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is darkness. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the light of the world. It's very simple, but yet it's very complicated when you start putting the whole world system around it. And where's the light? Where's the darkness? It's hard to tell sometimes in this world. But you know, we just learned last week that Jesus was God incarnate, that he was made a man, and he was God, and he became a human being and gave his life for us. He was born to be the light of the world, and that's what Christmas is all about. Charlie Brown. I have my own version, and I don't have a blankie. Christmas is a reminder to walk with him in our lives. Some of us need to walk with him a little more. Walk in the world a little less. Think about it. We need to allow him to have access to our life. You know that God's never going to punch his way into your life? That the Holy Spirit is the most gentlemanly, you know, being on the earth. Man, God is a gentleman. He's waiting for an invitation from your life and into your life. He's not going to kick the door down and come running into your life. He's waiting for you to say, I need you in my life. Where are you? It's the question of the day. And then Christmas says, I'm right here. I am the light of the world. What are we supposed to do? That's what we're supposed to share with everybody. You realize that, right? You know, Christmas came in the form of a Savior, with Christ being the newborn King. But the bottom line is this: God came into the world and he became a human being and sacrificed himself on the cross for you, for me, for anybody, everybody that would receive him, so that he could make us children of light. So that we could become the light of the world. Look at Ephesians 5:8. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." How are you walking? How's your walk? You walking in darkness a little bit? You got a couple little shady spots in your life? You playing games? You kicking around over in the dark world and then coming back over into the light? We've got to get to this place where we are in full surrender, fully able and willing to allow God to do whatever it is that He wants to do in our lives in this moment, right now. Yesterday doesn't matter. Tomorrow's not here yet. If you live for God right now, all the time, you'll be good. Does that make sense? It's crazy. John 12:46 says, "I've come as a light into the world." The Bible is so clear. It's not difficult to understand that, is it? "I've come to be a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." Are you abiding in darkness today? Stop. Walk in the light. John 3:19, right after John 3:16, right? We all know that one. God so loved the world that He gave His Son, right? Well, here's a couple verses later. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Are you in love with darkness in any area of your life? If you are, then you need Christmas. You need the light of the world. The babe born who's come into the world to reveal Himself to you and to take away your sins and your darkness. You see, love is light, and it has the power to change us. I mean, I needed to be changed. I still need to be changed. Oh, I'm telling you right now, yesterday I needed to be changed. I think I was good this morning, right? Nothing yet? You didn't talk to me. You did talk to me. You were still asleep. Remember, I asked you if I could get that one thing. It was like $700. You were like, "Absolutely." You don't remember? Should have turned the light on. Walking in darkness, see that? But when I met Jesus, I came to a whole new beginning in my life. I mean, everything changed. Everything was transformed. The love of God changed me. You know how it changed me? The light of the love of God came into my life like a lightning bolt that hit me. I've told this story many times, but it knocked me to the floor. And when that light came into my body, every demon in hell that was residing in the dark places of my life ran. I had 9 demons came out of me. And were just driven out by the light of God in my life. I was instantly delivered from drug addiction and alcoholism and all the other different things that I was battling in my life, the darkness that had consumed me. Suddenly the light came on and it scattered. It ran. Because this is the bottom line. Darkness is simply the absence of light. So if you're walking in darkness in your life, you just need to find the light for that particular area of your life, and then let that light so shine in your life, and then the love of God and the power of God will come into that situation and reveal itself, and then the darkness will be dispelled from your life in every area. Doesn't matter what area, you can apply that principle to any area of your life. You know, if you've got darkness in your marriage, then you can bring the light of the gospel to your marriage, and God will dispel that darkness from your marriage. He'll bring the light. He'll show you you're selfish. That's the way it works for me every time. I mean, it's got to be the same for you, right? But You know, where are you, Christmas? Where is Christmas really at? We've got to get this down. We've got to be believers that know the drill, that have it figured out. You know, we can't be, you know, 10 years into this relationship with God stuff, still not having the fundamentals down in our lives. We're trying to hammer that into you. That's why we have Thursday nights, men's groups, and Mondays, and all these different Bible studies, so that you can fill your lives with the light of the Word of God and see the darkness just begin to be dispelled out of all the different areas of your life. Because the Bible says we'll know the truth, and the truth will what? Set us free. It'll bring the light, and the darkness will be gone. So where are you, Christmas? I would say first, we just figured out that Christmas is in the heart of God for His creation. He became a man. He sacrificed His life on that cross out of His love for us. Out of a heart of love for His creation, Christmas, that's where it lives, in the heart of God. I've got to fix this. I've got to make it so that everybody has the same opportunity to have access to me at any point in their life, that they're willing to surrender their life and turn their life over to me and allow my light to come into their life and allow me to begin to do change in them and to move their hearts in a new direction and to remold and recreate them in the image of myself, so that they will become children of light in this world, so that others will see them, and when they see them, they'll see me. That's what Jesus said, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay, so if we follow Him, then when we look at, when people look at us, they're going to see Jesus. That's called light. Bible says, let your light so shine before men, and they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Right? It's good stuff. Everybody nudge your neighbor. Come on, nudge him. Everybody ate so much at the Christmas party last night. By the way, we had such a blast. 300 people came last night. They were crazy. We had the food spread. And we gave away everything we could, man. We were giving away toys, prizes, all that. We were dancing, having a good old time celebrating Jesus. But I just want to say thank you to everybody that did that. Jill, Denise, Dad, everybody that helped with that. You guys did such a good job. Everybody, man. You know, Rebecca, you guys were crushing it. We have such an amazing church, you know. And being a foodie pastor, I love having foodie people in our church. They're like, oh yeah, they're showing me pictures. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. It's going to be a little treat. It's going to have a little meat and cheese, and it's going to look like a Christmas tree. I'm like, ooh, come on, man. We're making empanadas. I'm like, oh, empanadas. It was good. Somebody's got a picture of me eating a meatball somewhere. I don't know where it lives. It's not here, but I'm just saying. Is that you? Yeah. Now we're not going to talk about the chug thing. You know, yeah. Romans 5:8. Let's stay right on track here. God demonstrated His love towards us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You little gluttony hit me last night, I won't lie. I repented after I ate everything I wanted. Isn't it funny how we do that? We'll walk in darkness for a little bit, and then I'll be like, oh, bring the light back, I'm sorry. All right, let's talk about baby Jesus for a minute. You know, everybody says, you know, how's that DC Talk song go? My best friend was born in a manger. Right? People say I'm strange, but that makes me a stranger. My best friend was born in a manger. How many of you guys have ever heard that song? None of you. A couple of you. All right. Wow. All right. Hold on. Anybody over here? Okay. Yeah. So, you know, Jesus wasn't born in a manger, right? I was like, Jesus is born. He's born in a stable, and then his mom wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. It's like, Pastor, you're ruining Christmas for me. All these truths that you keep coming up with. I've been lied to my whole life. But Jesus was laid in that little trough. You know that Jesus said, I am living water. Where would the animals come to drink? To the trough. You know, where would they come to eat? To the trough. He says, I'm the bread of life. Jesus was laid in that manger to show you that he was going to be life and sustenance for you. You know, Jesus was laid and he's in that stable. Why was Jesus born in a stable? You know, because he's the Lamb of God. He was going to be the sacrificial lamb that was going to be given for the sacrifice, the one and only last final sacrifice that ever needed to be made. The Jewish community does not need to reinstitute the temple and begin to sacrifice animals again. They will, but that's because they don't understand who their Messiah is yet. They will one day realize that Jesus was the last and final sacrifice ever needed to be made. God finished it. When Jesus hung on that cross, he said, it is finished. There is no more sacrifice required for sin in your life. Simply believe. That's all God's asking from you. You don't have to do anything else. You can't be good enough. You can't do it within yourself. But if you just simply believe in what he has done for you, God will release you by faith of all your sin. It's amazing. He demonstrated his love for us. While we were still sinners, he died for us. You know, in Genesis 3:15, it says this. It says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. We've talked about this. Our church before, right? Then it says, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. It's like, wait, enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, right? But then all of a sudden, he will do this. See, the woman's seed was going to become the incarnation. He's talking about the virgin will give birth. The seed of a woman will produce the God child. The incarnate God will become flesh, and then he's going to lay his life down and sacrifice himself for each and every one of us so that we can be free once and for all from all of our sin. The enmity is that Satan's mad because God set us all free. He had us, and then he lost it. Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. See, blood is a heavenly substance. I believe that when God breathed into Adam and Eve that breath of life, when Adam became a living being, I believe blood entered into his body. You see, blood is a heavenly substance. It's not from the earth. It's supernatural. It's a heavenly substance, and that's why we're all running around. We're like watching these hacker slasher movies. They're like, blood, boom, ta, blood everywhere. Why? Why is the world so enamored with blood? Because it's a heavenly substance. And it's the only thing that has the power to release us from sin. But you see, our blood was never going to be good enough. There wasn't a person on the planet that could have been good enough to make the final once and for all sacrifice for our sins. But Jesus, born, God born through a virgin, given the same blood that Adam had before he sinned. You see, sin polluted the blood. See, now that Jesus was recreated in Mary and God is in the flesh, he's like, I got the blood. He said, this blood's for you. Took him a minute. You guys got it. Jay's like, Only God recreated. There's no other way it could have happened. That's why Jesus trapped himself in that human body for eternity. Because somebody had to come and pay that price to lay that perfect, pure, unspotted blood on the altar of the cross. Now, you know, I don't know the exact truth of all this, but some say that the place of this fall, that the Ark of the Covenant was actually under the ground in the cavern. And that when Jesus' blood dripped through and down the cross into the ground, that it dripped onto the holy, the seat of the Ark. I've read an article about that. I'm not preaching that, but that would be pretty fascinating if that blood was sprinkled. If not, it was done in heaven for sure. We know that Jesus says, he went into heaven and offered his blood through the eternal spirit once and for all to satisfy the wrath of God for sin. And we became the righteousness of God in him. So where are you, Christmas? It's in the heart of God and his love for you. You know that there was so much prophecy that was fulfilled in the Bible in all these times. In Hebrews 9:22 it says, I already said that one. In Micah 5:2, I'm sorry, it says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old and from everlasting." It's basically saying that Jesus, where is Christmas going to happen? It's going to happen in Bethlehem. First it happened in the heart of God. Now it's happening in Bethlehem. It's prophesied through Scripture that the Messiah was going to come. He had to be born in Bethlehem. That's why Mary had to get on that donkey, go all the way to Bethlehem from wherever they were, pregnant as ever, you know. And we were talking about this earlier. You know, when you're pregnant, you're way out there, you know, you can't even sneeze. Like, that's too long. You know, you remember, right? I remember this, right, ladies? Come on, track with me for a minute, right? Don't be coughing when you're 8.5 months. Imagine being on a donkey, you're about like that, every bump, every brick, every... poor thing. But she had to go to Bethlehem. She had to have Jesus there because it was scripturally prophesied that it would happen. So where is Christmas? In Bethlehem. Why? Because it just had to be that way, because Isaiah had already spoken it. Or Micah had already spoken it. It's in Isaiah as well. Think about that. Poor thing. See, she just got home. We all know it's Amazon. They just threw the package. They drove through your front yard and tossed it. Rolled up, perfectly landed the guy's back in. I saw one in the video where they got drop kicking packages. So frustrated. So, all right, look, where else can we find Christmas? We found it in the heart of God. We found it in Bethlehem. Yeah, Mary had to go there. It's in Scripture. But, you know, then it was in Jesus' life and in his ministry. It was him going and releasing people from demonic control, releasing people from sickness and disease. His whole ministry was about loving people and releasing them, taking the darkness in their life and wiping it away with his love, because Jesus became darkness so that we could be the light. When he died on the cross, every sin in the world was on him. They say it was hard to look at. People were like, that's not normal. What's happening to this man on this cross? Because God was putting every sin, every disease, every sickness, every bit of hatred, every bitterness and anxiety was all being put on him all in that moment. And he's taking it all. Perfectly innocent. Every bit of darkness was put on him in that moment, and his light was released at the end of the cross. He said, "Father, it's finished. I have taken it all. They're free. Because he whom the Son sets free, what? Free indeed. You're free. Then Jesus comes back. He's raised from the dead. Now where's Christmas now? It's in the disciples. And they're running around. They're like, oh, we thought we put him out. We thought we got rid of him. But now all these disciples are running around. They're healing people. The light is shining out of them. This light, we can't seem to put it out. The world's like, I want darkness. I want darkness. And the light is shining on it. And they can't put it out. It's just going out into the world. And you know what that tells me? Where's Christmas? It's in the heart of the believer now. Yes. Christmas isn't just December 25th. It's the 26th, the 27th, the 28th. It's January 20th. It's March 16th. It's, you know, June 12th. It's Christmas every day. If we're walking in the light. Hebrews 10, 16, I'm almost there. I just want you guys to get this. Because now that we understand this, we can see that Christmas exists in the heart of every believer. It's you. You're Christmas. You are Christmas. And you are Christmas. I have to do the whole three-part church. Listen to this scripture. Because God has made a covenant with you.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are on Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning for our radio show, Turn the Light On, at 7:30 on WMIE 91.5 or any of our social media channels. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to see you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.